Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds,
lines,
matchups,
injury reports,
and news you can use.
Bon appetit!
We are Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
College football, full circle.
This job is one of the best ever in sports, and it's been made that way because of incredible players that chose to come to the University of Oklahoma that did exceptional things while they were here. Obviously, the coaches that found them, developed them, and continue to recruit and build upon that as we pursue championships. It's a great thing to be able to be part of here at the University of Oklahoma, and certainly, like you would expect, it's already drawn interest that's off the charts.
Okay, here we go. College football full circle. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius Channel 159, getting you prepared for conference championships. They start tonight. Big battle in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 championship. A lot of news and notes to get to. Carver's out in Louisiana. He's marrying a couple this weekend, but he's going to be watching the games. We have him locked and loaded. We'll break it down. Rich and I will a little bit later, but interesting developments. We saw Brian Kelly, his speech yesterday, Rich. He's got the Southern accent, family, y'all, right? He's got it breaking down. Marcus Freeman named new head coach this morning of the Fighting Irish. I think that's a great hire. We'll get into that. But I don't know if you saw this, Rich. Bronco Mendenhall stepping down after six seasons with the Virginia Cavaliers, had one of the most prolific offenses in the ACC, led by Brennan Armstrong. Thought he did a fantastic job a couple of years ago where Bryce Perkins leads the team to an ACC championship berth, stepping down. Interesting developments for the Cavaliers.
Yeah, unexpected, reminiscent of some previous coaches, Joe, like a Bob Stoops with Oklahoma, where it was completely voluntary. It was a quality of life type issue. Bronco Mendenhall has done a really good job throughout his career, beginning in BYU and now in Charlottesville over the past 6 years. He just decided he needed to step away, and I give him a lot of credit. This was a life decision. This was a family decision. He's young enough. He's talented. I think he'll be back on the sidelines at some point, but he needs a little bit of a break. He wants to focus on his wife, his life. He's a man of strong faith. He's a Mormon who does a lot out in the community. I think he wants to do more charitable type efforts. I think he's a hell of a guy. He's the kind of guy that you'd want your kid to be coached by. And I think he knew that it was time to tap the brakes, that he was burning both ends of the candle. I say, Joe, within the next 2 or 3 years, he'll be back coaching again, but sort of a courageous decision from Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah, and you look at his record, 36-38, under 500, but a couple of years ago, knocked off Virginia Tech for the first time in 13 meetings. They go to the ACC championship, get blown out by Clemson, but go to a New Year's Day bowl game. I mean, that was something that, you know, when he was hired 6 years ago, people would have signed up for that any day of the week at that particular time in terms of where their program was, in terms of the bottom of the ACC, and now he's got that. Respectable again. 55 years old, a blue-collar guy, predicates offense and defensive line play. And I actually brought this up, Rich. You know, this resignation reminds me, I don't know if you remember, back in Southern Miss with a dynamic head coach in Jeff Bowers that just all of a sudden just walked away from the program, and people were shocked. You know, same type of thing. Never wound up coaching again. Similar situation, but maybe, just maybe, in a couple of years, depending upon what happens with Scott Frost, Lincoln, Nebraska, possible fit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why not? I wouldn't say a top coach. I think he's in that second tier of coaching. But again, he's the kind of guy that if you want your kid to be raised not just to be a terrific football player, but a terrific human being on and off the field, I think that sort of middle America values that folks in Lincoln and Nebraska look for, I think would be a good fit for Bronco Mendenhall. And, you know, we've seen some coaches that just they don't come back. You know, they decide that, you know, it's better just to stay away. They have different different endeavors that they're involved with. Maybe their stress levels are lower. And listen, today's college coaches, whether it's head coach or assistant, but particularly head coaches, these are wire-to-wire, end-to-end, 12-month-a-year type of jobs, from recruiting to coaching to camps. It never ends. Speaking engagements, donors, it never ends for these coaches. It's definitely becoming more of a young man's game because of that fact. And yeah, it dovetails nicely into Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman. He's a 35-year-old coach, has the requisite energy right now to handle this job.
Yeah, definitely. And you saw, I don't know if you saw the video, but they leaked it out from the Notre Dame strength coach introducing the team. All right, you guys have to be focused for your next game. Let me introduce your new head coach. He comes in, the kids embrace him. Obviously, yeah. A player's coach. So this is good for Notre Dame. Obviously, they're right there. Yeah, if something should, let's say, happen over the next 24 hours where Cincinnati gets knocked off, Oklahoma State gets knocked off, Michigan potentially, Alabama loses to Georgia, the door is open for potentially Marcus Freeman leading this team into a semifinal playoff game.
Yeah. No, it's going to be a wacky next 24 to 36 hours in college football. I couldn't be more excited beginning tonight. I love the fact that we have two conference title games. I think there'll be two competitive, entertaining games, and then heading right into Saturday. It's going to be a great weekend of football.
It will. We'll touch on those two games tonight and then get you prepared, starting with that battle in the MAC, Kent State and Northern Illinois. Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello right here on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Coming right back. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Circle, Joe Lisi, Rich Sermonello in for Mike Carver. That's actually marrying a couple. God help those two moving forward. We wish them the best and blessings beyond with Mike Carver at the helm. Big battle taking place, though, Rich, tonight. We'll talk on both of these games. Western Kentucky and Bailey Zappi has the potential to knock off and strike down Joe Burrow's passing touchdown record. They are 3.5-point favorites in the championship game, minus 104. UTSA lost last week to North Texas as a big favorite, 10.5 points. They got blown out in that ball game, but I think they bounced back in a big way. Plus the 3.5, minus 118, total is 72 and a hook. Juice to the over, minus 115. Give me UTSA, and I think there's a lot of points. Give me the over in this ballgame.
It's a rematch of a classic earlier this year at Western Kentucky, won by the Roadrunners 52-46. Boy, it's tough. I think UTSA bounces back at home. They've got a great fan base. I think the Alamo Dome will be revved up, juiced up for this shot to win a conference championship for the first time. Frank Harris under center. Sincere McCormick having another great year at running back. Zappi's been fantastic all season long. That defense has actually improved as well. That was not a strength in the first half of the season. They got off to a slow start. They've been rolling ever since. But I think the fact that this game is in San Antonio give a slight edge to UTSA, but the one thing, again, for casual college fans, if you just like football, if you like entertaining football, I think this one tonight, 7 o'clock on the East Coast, CBS Sportsline, I think this one's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it should be. I mean, you're talking about the Houston Baptist transfer and Bailey Zappi. I mean, 60-plus touchdowns would be a dynamic effort to end it and cap off this season with a championship win. We talked yesterday about Oregon and Utah. We're on both sides of the fence. Again, I know a lot of people are looking for Oregon to step up. I'm not sure their mindset. This game was won in the trenches a couple weeks ago, 38-7 by Kyle Winningham's crew. They ran at will on Thibodeau, and that front 7-on-7. I don't see things changing. Now, the biggest thing is it's on a neutral field, played in Las Vegas. The line at home in Salt Lake was 3.5 in favor of Utah. It was 3.5 at the start of the week. Now, money coming in on the Ducks. Utah -2.5 at -118. Total set at 57.5, which seems high. 45 in the first meeting. I still lean to Utah, and I still think the under comes in this ballgame.
Yeah, we're on opposite sides here. I like Oregon. I think with the time to adjust over the last couple of weeks, you mentioned neutral field versus the first one at Rice-Eccles Stadium, very difficult place to play, particularly at night. Mario Cristobal, 2-0, Pac-12 championship games. I think he makes it 3-0. If you're a believer of trends, Joe, Pac-12 North has won 9 of the last 10 versus the South. South has been the weaker of the two divisions. I still think Oregon has the most talent in the conference. Ton of respect for Kyle Whittingham and what he's done this year, especially making the early switch. Charlie Brewer surfaced anywhere, by the way? I know he left the program. He's transferring. Do we have a third program yet for Charlie Brewer?
I thought he would stick there. No, we don't. And, once he got out of that lineup, with Cam Rising, they have a ton of consistency. Kid's playing lights out right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Rising under center, Tavion Thomas, Cincinnati transfer at running back. That offense has taken a real leap over the past 6 or 7 weeks. But I think Oregon is the class of the Pac-12, much like we thought it was going to be at the beginning of the year. I think this does matter to the Ducks, even though the playoffs are out of reach, to win another Pac-12 title. So give me Oregon in what should be another good game.
Okay, starts tomorrow at 12 o'clock. It's a big battle, MAC championship. This is what it's all about. You're just supposed to blindly bet the underdog in the MAC championship. We've seen underdogs cover 5 straight ATS. When you look at this ballgame, you have Sean Lewis, you have Dustin Crum. Kent State laying 3.5 at -104 on FanDuel. Northern Illinois and Rocky Lombardi, the former Michigan State quarterback, catching 3.5 at -118 total. Total set at 74.5, Rich, juice to the over at -112. Kent State screwed me all year. Sean Lewis
is that
crew,
right?
When they were on the road, they were catching 23. Well, at the start of the week, early in the year, they played Kirk Ferentz and Iowa. Iowa at that time was 1-5 against MAC opponents, ATS. There goes Kent State. They're catching 22.5 across all books.
Oh,
right?
No. 23-point game.
Yep. Kid fumbles on the 1-yard line, right? Golden flashes. Get the football back. Now, the week before, Sean Lewis is kicking field goals down 31 on the road in Kyle Field against Texas A&M. Spread is 28.5. With 4 minutes left on his own 40 in a 4th-and-4, he decides to punt with 3 minutes left. Mails it in against Iowa. Now they're laying 3.5. They're the favorite. They have a bend-but-don't-break type of defense. Defense giving up 183 in terms of rushing defense. I like Riley Lombardi. I mean, resurrected his career from East Lansing. Completed 47% of his passes last year. He's putting up points in this offense. Did lead this team to over 35 points per game. Give me the Huskies plus the points, but I'm taking the total as well. I think it's a shootout in Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah, I the shootout, I completely agree. These two defenses are horrible. Thomas Hammack is the head coach, former running back for Northern Illinois. He's done a really nice job in his second season. I don't know if it's been announced yet. I don't know if they've even had this voting. I think he's done the best job of any MAC head coach. I think he should be the MAC coach of the year based on what he's done. But I'm a big Dustin Crum fan, Kent State quarterback, efficient, accurate passer, will make plays with his feet outside the pocket or on design runs. Northern Illinois giving up 5.7 yards per carry. Big, big problem against Crum and Marquez Cooper, Kent's top running back. I think it's going to be a lot of points. I completely agree. Neither team can make stops. You have two veteran quarterbacks, two teams that can run the ball. I think Kent State finally breaks through. First MAC title in almost half a century. Do you know who one of the defensive backs were the last time Kent won a conference championship?
Yeah, Nick Saban. Good old Nick.
Nick Saban. You got it. Nick Saban, 1972. Nick Saban, Jack Lambert were playing defense for the Golden Flashes. I think they break through for Sean Lewis and actually win this game. It's going to be tight. I'm going to say Kent by 5 and a ton of points.
Now, I'll give you this about Hammack. Last year, he was horrible. Now, I don't know if a lot had to do with the COVID type of situation. Mm-hmm. They were ill-prepared. They didn't show consistency. But I agree with you. He's done a fantastic job. Started week one, 18.5-point road dogs against Georgia Tech. Rolls the dice to go for two. They get the victory over Jeff Collins. That really gained them confidence throughout the year, and they've been playing with that. Now, I will say this about the total, right? We both love the over, probably 6-3 by halftime, right? We'll 6-3 dead under, both defenses stopping the run, and all of a sudden three and outs. But I agree with you. When you have solid quarterback play, just from a tempo perspective, these teams are going to push it against each other. And I think this game matters to both programs, right? You have a quarterback in Rocky Lombardi that was basically run out of town. He gave way to Peyton Thorne, Dustin Crum in this team. I mean, you just talked about it. 1972, so they haven't been there before. You're going to get 150% on both sides.
Yeah, and I think, for Dustin Crum, I think he's a quarterback, Joe, that we'll see in the NFL. I'm not suggesting he'll be QB1 for an Oregon. A really smart, versatile, proven, played a ton of snaps at the college level kind of quarterback who's going to be start his career second team, third team. I think he'll be a starter in the NFL at some point. I think he's that good. So for him, it's a chance. And this game is indoors. No weather problems in terms of the points. But I think Dustin Crum has a big game tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. 12 o'clock kick, Northern Illinois, a 3.5-point underdog in that ballgame. When Rich and I come back, we'll break down the Big 12, Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello, right here on the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Mike Carver and Joe Lisi.
Ripping through the conference championships, left off with the MAC battle between Kent State and Northern Illinois. Going to turn our attention to the Big 12 championship. Not just championship for the conference, but college football playoff appearance on the line for the Oklahoma State Cowboys. They stepped up last week, knocked off Oklahoma for the first time in 6 meetings. They had lost 6 straight to the Sooners. Now they turn their attention to a team that they defeated earlier in the year in Stillwater, 27-17. You see Baylor step up last week, got a 3-point win over the Texas Tech Red Raiders. Did not get the 10.5, 13-point cover in that ballgame. Oklahoma State opened basically as a 6-point favorite. They bet it down middle of the week, Rich, down to 4.5. Now Oak State sits at 5.5 on FanDuel. -106 is the Cowboys on the book. And then 46.5 the total. And -110 either way. It's a rematch. Bo Hannon iffy in this ballgame for Baylor. I think that's a difference, but I'm going to take the more complete team. Oklahoma State does get the win and cover, I think, double digits, 10 or more over the Bears.
Listen, I think Oklahoma State gets the win and the cover as well, Joe. Dave Aranda's done a great job with Baylor. Both of these teams play excellent defense, but Oklahoma State has the better all-around defensive unit. They're going to be better positioned at quarterback with Spencer Sanders. Gary Bohannon, you mentioned, is maybe going to play. And if he doesn't, he's less than 100%. And, you know, you're either going to have Bohannon at less than 100% against the league's best defense, or you're going to have a young freshman quarterback who started last week against Texas Tech being thrown into Jim Knowles' defense. And Knowles has done a great job this year, finalist for the Broyles Award, top assistant coach in the country. And, you know, I think Oklahoma State's just going to keep their foot on the pedal. I mean, there's a thought that maybe there's a letdown. You finally win Bedlam, that scene that took place in Stillwater, but I don't think that's the case. I think Mike Gundy has done a remarkable job. I've talked about it a few times here. This is a program that is typically built on offense. Mike Gundy's a former quarterback. That's the way he built his coaching chops, on offense. But this year, it's all about defense. 2.8 yards per carry they're allowing, 16 points per game, just 9 touchdown passes allowed all season. I think that's a recipe for an Oklahoma State victory. And then they watch the scoreboard at that point and see if they're going to have an opportunity to actually appear in the playoffs, which would be a stunning turn of events.
Yeah, they have done it on defense. And when you look at that victory earlier in the year, they get by Boise State. They trail on the road 20-7 in the first half. They don't lose their composure. They ground and pound with Jaylen Warren, 218. They have a one-point lead. Boise State gets the scoop and score. It should have been a bad, it was a terrible call. It should have been a scoop and score to give the Broncos the lead. But somehow, some way, they marked the ball. It was down by contact, and they escaped Boise State with a one-point win. If they lose that, Rich, they don't go on possibly this dynamic run, and they really have maintained their composure since that game. And that's why I like them in this matchup. You mentioned 2.6 yards per rush in terms of the front seven. They're holding opposing offenses to 93 rushing yards per game, 24% third down defense, tops in the nation. Last year, they led third down defense in FBS at 26%. So they're 2% better this year. And I just like their playmakers. As good as Baylor's done, and that's a fantastic job by Dave Aranda in year number two, from a personnel perspective, I don't know if they can go toe-to-toe and challenge that defense over the top. If you watch the game earlier in the year, that offensive line was abused by Lacey, the defensive ends of Oklahoma State, crashing down, especially in predictable long third downs. I don't think it changes. You saw Texas Tech get pressure on Chapin last week. Same thing with Bohannon at the helm. And here's the other factor as well. I think Oklahoma State looks to start fast here. You look to maintain that momentum that you got against Oklahoma. Your offense put up 37. I'm actually leaning to the over, even though we have two defensive-minded teams in this ballgame.
Yeah, I'm more of an under guy when it comes to this matchup. My biggest concern is, you know, what you mentioned with the quarterback situation at Baylor. I don't know if either team is going to have extended drives. Spencer Sanders has been good this year, but not a great quarterback. Jaylen Warren has been good, but not a great running back. And even the receivers, you know, you're accustomed to Oklahoma State's receivers to be those, you know, surefire day one, day two type of NFL draft choices, right? Tylan Wallace last year, not drafted that high, but a proven playmaker. Tay Martin's been a great addition. He's a kid who came over from Washington State, but there are not the elite playmakers that we're used to. So I think this is going to be a defense special teams type game. And just quickly, Joe, on the defense that you mentioned for Oklahoma State, one of the things that I love is, you know, they're so difficult to prepare for because it's not just one guy you're trying to neutralize, right? If it's Oregon, and things get a little bit easier, right? Yeah, that's not that kind of a defense. There is no singular star. There's just a lot of good playmakers. Malcolm Rodriguez, Devin Harper, the safeties led by Colby Harvell-Peel. You know, a lot of no names as individual awards come out this week. No mention of Oklahoma State players because they don't have one individual star. They have a cohesive unit, so there's not just one guy to prepare for. And I think it's been the difficult challenge for teams throughout the Big 12 this year.
And potentially their biggest playmaker in the secondary, Trey Sterling, has not been there right? Think about that, the run that they have had in terms of without Trey Sterling. I will give props because one linebacker that I love the way he plays and I think it definitely has an NFL career is Terrell Bernard for the Baylor Bears. I mean, to get the most out of this player, he is physical at the point of attack. He can run sideline to sideline. Kid plays with an attitude. Keep an eye out for him, number two, tomorrow because he is the heart and soul of that Baylor defense.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He's been there for 5 years now, been productive since the beginning of his career. I'll throw Jalen Petrie is another one, a hybrid safety linebacker for Baylor. They've got a couple of kids that consistently make plays. So, you know, for me, just from the fan perspective, I'm happy that Oklahoma's not in it because, you know, we've seen Oklahoma win it for so many years. I think it would have been a fait accompli. People would be like, yeah, Oklahoma's going to win their seventh straight this year. But the fact that you have two teams that haven't been there, at least recently, I think is going to add to the excitement in Jerry's world.
Yeah, Mountain West Championship is a doozy. You have Utah State and Blake Anderson catching 6.5 at -114 on FanDuel, taking on Brady Hoke and San Diego State. San Diego State took care of business against Hank Bachmeyer and Boise State. They were catching 2.5, started slow, did win that ball game by double digits. Total set in this championship game, -114 at 49.5. I like Utah State. They might not win, but I believe they get the cover over the Aztecs. Like the over as well in this ballgame, Rich.
Yeah, I think Blake Anderson, first-year head coach for Utah State, has done a great job, done a fantastic job of turning things around in Logan, Utah. A tremendous amount of props to what he has done. But I think it's the end of the line. I think once we get to this time of year, it's all about who has the better defense. And for me, that's San Diego State. Year after year, they're stingy. They're tough at the point of attack, great in the trenches. Run defense, Joe, 2.6 yards per carry. They've got 15 picks. They consistently send kids to the NFL. This defense has got a couple of kids who will play on Sundays. So I like Brady Hoke and San Diego State. I think they'll neutralize what Utah State brings offensively. I think they win this game by double digits. San Diego State is actually one of my better picks of the weekend.
All right, we're going to get best bets at the end of the show. Sunbelt Championship game. You remember last year was supposed to be Coastal and UL Lafayette in the rematch. That game was canceled due to COVID. We have UL Lafayette and Billy Napier. Even though he is the new head coach of Florida, he will coach in this ballgame. App State, -2.5 on FanDuel, -114. 52.5 is the total. Juice to the under at -112. I know everybody's pounding UL Lafayette. I'm going Chase Bryce and App State laying a short number, and I think under the 52.5 in this ballgame, Rich.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one to figure, Joe. It's reminiscent of a bowl game in which a coach is no longer there. Billy Napier will be there, but it's got to be a little bit harder to motivate those kids, right? Knowing that, you know, just days later, hours later, he's going to be in Gainesville for the foreseeable future, I think will be difficult. But the fact that this is a home game, Chase Bryce has done a really nice job. I mean, he's a well-traveled former Clemson quarterback. He's done a good job for Appalachian State, 22 touchdown passes, 10 picks. They've got a deep crew of running backs, but home game at Cajun Field, Levi Lewis under center, outstanding offensive line. I think this will be competitive and entertaining as well. I think it's going to be a close game for 60 minutes. I think you'll sweat it out either way, but give me the Raging Cajuns at home as a home dog, rare home dog for an 11-1 team. I'm going to take the Raging Cajuns.
You know, it is amazing that App State did lose to UL Lafayette 41-13, right? Earlier in the year when UL Lafayette was ranked 20th in the country. Since that time, Rich, they've won six straight. And Chase Bryce, you got to be happy for the kid because he goes to Duke last year thinking he's going to be the star with the quarterback whisperer David Cutcliffe, right? And 7 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Did not live up to expectations. Does have a second line. With App State heading them into this championship game against UL Lafayette tomorrow. Rich likes the Raging Cajuns plus the 2.5. I like App State minus the short number. When we come back, SEC Championship, Georgia and Bama coming up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Back on College Football Full Circle, talking about the conference championships, big battle down in Atlanta between the Alabama Crimson Tide and Georgia Bulldogs. We've seen this matchup before a few years ago, national championship game. Bama and Tua get the victory in overtime, 26-23. A couple years ago, Georgia was dominating basically for three quarters until Jalen Hurts came in. They did get the win by 7 points over the Georgia Bulldogs. Now Georgia, basically for much of the early portion of the week before last week, Rich, Georgia was only a 4.5-point favorite after they took care of business against G-Tech 45-0, and Bama struggled in the Iron Bowl as a 20.5-point favorite, winning by 2 and 4 OTs. You got the Crimson Tide sitting at plus 6.5 on FanDuel, minus 114 total now, being hammered. It opened at 50.5, down to 48.5, juiced to the over at minus 114. I don't care. Give me Bama plus the 6.5. Like them on the money line and like the over 48 and a hook.
Yeah, Joe, I'm with you. I think I recognize the differences between these teams, and I recognize the differences between 2021 Alabama and its recent predecessors. There are holes on this team that didn't exist in the past, offensive line being an obvious one, which we saw at Jordan-Hare last weekend. Defense not as salty as they've been either. 20 touchdown passes allowed so far this year. I'm not sure if Stetson Bennett is going to be the guy who could take advantage of that secondary. I'm expecting a huge show-me signature game out of Will Anderson, and it's Nick Saban as a heavy underdog. It's not many opportunities you're going to get Saban and close to a touchdown. So I'm with you, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for Georgia. I think Georgia still deserves to be the favorite to win a national championship. Best defense I've seen in years. But Alabama, with its back to the wall and as an underdog, I just can't bet against Nick Saban this time.
I can't. And I think the biggest thing for me is what you brought up about Stetson Bennett. Has done a fantastic job taking over for JT Daniels. 255 last week, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. But let's go back to last year in Tuscaloosa against that Alabama defense. Now, granted, a different team. They were 13-0. Mac Jones, Waddle, Smith, we know the story. It was an even first half until the speed of Alabama took over. And that secondary got abused over the top. And then we saw the wheels fall off for Stetson Bennett, where the pressure got to him. If you look at pressure situations for Stetson Bennett last year, 2 key ball games, Florida and Alabama, both on the road or on a neutral field, he didn't play well. And I think that's the biggest thing here, is that Georgia will feel the pressure in this ballgame because a lot of the fan base want them to knock Nick Saban out so that they don't have to worry about him potentially either in a semifinal playoff game or, more importantly, a national championship title game.
Yeah, listen, there's no question this is huge for Georgia and Kirby Smart. Yeah, Georgia's lost 6 straight to Alabama, the last 3 under Kirby Smart. He does not want to carry the weight of finally getting past Alabama for another month. He does not want to allow Alabama into the playoff. My biggest concern for the Tide, Joe, understandably, is what is the offensive game plan in order to neutralize the front 7, that very fast, very physical front 7 of Georgia? How do you neutralize those guys? Because Bryce Young took a beating last week. Bryce Young's one of the top quarterbacks in the country. Didn't look like it against Auburn because he just didn't have time to find his receivers, to check down and look for his second and third receiver. Brian Robinson, the running back, is injured. They don't have a tremendous amount of depth this year at running back. So I'm going going to be interested to see what the offensive game plan is going to look like. And I, quite honestly, I don't think either team is going to score a lot of offensive points, have a lot of long offensive drives because of what we discussed so far. This could be a special teams game. It could be a game that comes down to second half non-offensive touchdown, whether that's a return man or somebody makes a defensive play. I think it's that kind of a game that could hinge on a huge play on defense, and a Kobe Dean on Georgia, a Will Anderson on Alabama, somebody with a strip sack or a pick six. That could be the difference in a game that I think is going to be close throughout. I just don't envision a situation that Georgia handles Alabama the way they've handled everybody else during the regular season.
Yeah, see, I talked about this on TMA with Ben Stevens. I think the offensive game plan is screens and not screens out in the perimeter. To your point about Brian Robinson, Alabama only averaging 4 yards per rush attempt this year. That is the lowest total since prior to 2009. So that's over 12 years for the Alabama Crimson Tide. The way you neutralize the front seven, and keep in mind, a lot of people are looking at that performance on the road in the Iron Bowl. I understand that, but how much did the Alabama offense hold back to a degree, knowing that the SEC championship game is on deck? Was it more of a vanilla type of game plan? They didn't show everything that they had. I look for middle screens by those wide receivers. Allow Jordan Davis, allow those front seven to rush Bryce Young, and then dump it over the middle to create one-on-one opportunities with your wide receivers in space with the blockers out in front. That could be the game plan for Alabama in this matchup. I do see a lot of points because I do feel that Georgia can run on the front seven of Alabama, but Bama will look to push tempo against Stetson Bennett, and I think that's the matchup. That's why it's a fascinating game, because it is a chess match. We want to see what Bill O'Brien does versus Kirby Smart's defense, and vice versa, Monken going up against the defensive staff of Alabama, Golding and the crew. So it is fascinating, but you like the points, right, with Bama? 6.5 in this ball game? Yeah, we both do.
Yeah,
we'll see. It's a 4 o'clock kick, so all eyes will be on Atlanta in that ballgame. AAC championship game. Luke Fickell not going to Notre Dame, not with Marcus Freeman being named the head coach now. They have to take care of business. 10.5-point favorites over Dana Holgorsen and Houston. 52.5 is the total. Juice to the under at -115. I don't love this game, but I'm going to take the points with Houston. I was on the Cougars last year. They got ran out of the building in Ohio, lost by 20-plus. But I think they bounce back to at least cover this number against the Bearcats.
Yeah, you and I are thinking alike. I like Houston as well. They might have, Joe, the quietest 11-game winning streak in the recent history of college football. I don't think people realize that Dana Holgorsen has these guys at 11-1, lost the opener on a neutral field to Texas Tech. They've reeled off 11 straight, and you know they've got a nice trio on offense. Clayton Tune under center, Alton McCaskill, the freshman running back who's rushed for 20 scores, and Nathaniel Dell outside. But the reason why I like the Cougars in this one is I think they've got an underrated defense. They attack the ball, they create turnovers. They're very fast, one of the faster defenses that Cincinnati's going to see this year. And last 3 weeks, albeit obviously against lesser competition, 8 points, 13 points, 17 points. That's 13 points a game allowed over the last 3 weeks. So Houston, 3 yards per carry giving up. Marcus Jones in that secondary, prone to making big plays either on special teams or as a corner. 14 interceptions, 14 TDs allowed. I think the Houston defense is going to give problems to Desmond Ridder in Cincinnati. So if you can give me a team with an 11-game winning streak, double-digit points, I'm going to take it. I like Houston as well.
And keep an eye out for Marcus Jones in the return game. His specials can be the difference. He's a dynamic return guy in terms of punt returns for the Cougars. Rich and I both like the points in that matchup. It's Michigan. It's Iowa. I mean, this is it. All the marbles on the line for the Big Ten championship. Potential college football playoff on the line for Jim Harbaugh and the crew. You need to close it out. You knock off Ohio State by 15 points. Now you're 10.5-point favorites in this ballgame. -108 in Indy. You want to take a shot on Kirk Ferentz and Spencer Petras coming from behind last week, 21-9. They knock off Nebraska. They're catching 10.5 at minus 112. Total set at 43.5. Juice to the over. Both teams mirror each other, but I have the more battle-tested quarterback, Cade McNamara, Aiden Hutchinson. You pound the rock for 297 against the Buckeyes. This should be cake. Even though Iowa's solid, I don't see it. Not enough playmakers. Michigan, minus the 10.5, and the under, Rich, in this ballgame.
Yeah, I like Michigan as well. We talked about it briefly on the air yesterday, Joe. For the people who think that Michigan is ready for a letdown after the monumental win over Ohio State, I think the opposite. I think that was a game that they needed to break through. I think their confidence right now is sky high, from Jim Harbaugh to Aiden Hutchinson to Cade McNamara. I think that entire program is going to enter Lucas Oil Stadium with a different mindset. I think Michigan is confident. I think they're now battle-tested, strong at the line of scrimmage. Both teams play good defense, but Michigan has shown, from McNamara, Donovan Edwards, Hassan Haskins, they have more offensive punch. I just don't see where Iowa gets points. And, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday. When Iowa loses, they tend to lose by a lot. I think this is a 24-7, 27-7 type of a game. I just don't know how Iowa sustained David Ajabo. So I really like Michigan in the under as well in this game.
Me too. So we'll see how that progresses. If Michigan wins, they are in the college football playoff. Keep in mind, the last two underdogs have covered in the Big Ten Championship. Rich and I don't care. Wisconsin covered a couple of years ago against Ohio State. Northwestern did last year as a 20.5 point dog with 20 players out for Ohio State due to COVID. Turn our attention to the last two games on the board, Rich. We have the ACC Championship. Kenny Pickett squaring off against Sam Hartman. Pitt is 3.5 point favorites at plus 100 on FanDuel. Total set at 71 and a hook. Juice to the under at minus 114. And then we have the battle in Berkeley. Cal laying 4.5 to USC. I like Wake Forest plus the points, like the under 71.5. And I like Cal on potentially senior day for those players. I have no faith in USC. I think they steamroll the Trojans in that ballgame.
Yeah, I'll go, not just to be, you know, contrarian, I'm in the opposite way in both of those games. I like Pitt. I just think Pitt has more defensive stoppers. Both teams, we know, have great quarterbacks, high-scoring offenses. Difference for me is defense. I just think that Narduzzi's defense, although, you know, certainly vulnerable at times, a notch or two above Dave Clawson's Wake Forest. So give me Pittsburgh and Kenny Pickett. And Kenny Pickett maybe throws a little bit of juice towards his Heisman odds at that point. It's his last chance to impress voters and maybe make up some ground. And, you know, I'll go with the Lincoln Riley factor. I could just see it. It's a late game Saturday night. I could just see Lincoln might not be. Lincoln's going to be counting his money beginning Saturday night. I think you'll see something like, you know, Lincoln Riley already making a difference for USC. Those Trojans, the young ones in particular, whether it's a Keaton Slovis, Jackson Dart under center, I think they're going to be looking to impress their new head coach, who obviously will be watching. Give me USC in the points in a game between 4-17 on championship weekend. Kind of odd that we have a game between 2-4-7 teams, but the Lincoln Riley era about to begin in the Coliseum.
Total set at 57.5, juice to the over at minus 112. When Rich and I come back, we'll wrap it up with some best bets. Keep it where it is.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
Wrapping up today's show, it always goes by quick when Rich and I are breaking down college football, top 25 conference championships. Doesn't matter. Carver and I put our best bets out earlier in the week. We post those on Twitter on Saturday and Friday morning, so keep an eye out for that. I'll recap some of the games that I have had. I like over SEC championship, 48.5, Michigan minus 10.5, Wake plus 3.5, and I'm going to take Northern Illinois, which I don't believe we talked about, plus the 3.5 in that ball game, Rich.
Yeah, was that four, Joe? I'll give you one additional. I'm with you on Michigan. I think Michigan's ready to seal the deal, win the Big Ten, and clinch their spot in the playoff. I will go opposite. I think you said Wake Forest. I like Pittsburgh. Houston plus 10.5. That's one that that's a money line thought, in my opinion. I think besides just taking the points, I think there's some money line potential for Houston. Cincinnati could be a little bit tight as they look to secure their perfect season and spot in the playoffs. I like San Diego State. I think they just outclass Utah State with their stronger defense. And I'm going to go Oregon. I'm going to go Oregon to win the Pac-12, make it three straight for Mario Cristobal in those matchups.
Okay, top four for me is going to be at the end of the road. It's going to be Georgia, Bama, Michigan, Oak State. You see it the same way, or you think someone else cracks?
Georgia, give that to me again, Joe. Georgia, Bama, Michigan.
Oak State.
I'm gonna contradict myself. I think Cincinnati holds on against Houston. I think Cincinnati will be ahead of Oklahoma State. But obviously, Houston wins that game outright. Could be Oak State. I'll go Oklahoma State as well.
And the outlier and the huge wild card could be the 31-shot to win it all, Notre Dame and new head coach Marcus Freeman. For Rich Sermonello, our great producer Andrew Torres, I'm Joe Lisi. Enjoy the games, everyone. We'll see you next week. Carver will be back. We'll get that story. Enjoy the weekend.